Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Of the weekend with Uncle Ted on a Friday Labor Day weekend. 506. Sue, I saw a bunch of cars with really, really nice looking bikes heading down to Lafayette Square.
Oh, that's
Square.
So exciting. Yeah. It's the Gateway Cup this weekend. They're going to be Lafayette Square on the hill.
Francis Park tomorrow.
And then the
hill
last
on Sunday,
one is Benton Park.
Benton Park on Monday. Yeah. I'm going to be back from the Chicago area on Sunday, late Sunday night, so hopefully I might get down for Benton Park. But it is a lot of fun. And I love tonight's the best, I think, just because it's the night races. So head on down. The pro race usually takes place, I think, around 8:30 or so, wraps up around 10.
I can't
generally.
Wait. I just love
it. So are you going to try to go to a bunch?
Well, I'm going to see. Yeah. But I'm going to ride on Sunday. Obviously, I'm not going to race. But I thought we'd stop after that and watch the real pros.
Well, one issue, this is just a mental thing that I have to, or maybe a guilt thing that I have to overcome. When I go to the races these days, because I've been off the bike for so long, I feel so guilty that I don't ride a bike again. It's my fault.
I get it.
It's my fault.
But maybe you could just use it as inspiration.
Well, you would think, Sue, but you would be wrong. You would be very, very wrong. Hey, Dan Reardon is with us this afternoon. An update on the Tour Championship, and I want to poke around on something that Phil Mickelson got all bent out of shape about this week. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing fine, Mark, and they just wrapped up second round play, so your timing is perfect.
Well, and this is where I would take issue with what's going on with this Tour Championship, because even someone like me, who is a huge fan of professional golf and watches professional golf and takes time to record it and, you know, turn my phone off on weekends because I don't want to know who won. I was looking at the scores yesterday, and I was confused. I'm like, wait a second. How is someone minus 11 on the first day of the tournament? Then I remembered that they come in with this score based on how they've entered this final round of the FedEx Cup, right?
That's correct. They basically stagger the start. That they give the number one player a 10-shot lead over the last player in the field, and then they break that down as they go through. It's confusing. I think the best way to just look at it is to look at that like that's the actual score and just ride with that. It's the players have mixed feelings about it. But it's not going to change, and you just have to look at it. You know, Patrick Cantlay is 17 under par after the first 2 days, but he's actually 7 under par on the round. If you actually look at the outcome of this championship,
similar.
They don't even report the winning score.
Yeah. What is who was number one yesterday? I can't remember who came into this thing at minus 11. Was that the score, or was it minus 10?
Cantlay at minus 10.
Okay.
It was the person. In that situation, and John Rahm, I believe, was next in line at 8 under.
The thing that I mean, I'd like to see something get interesting this weekend, and you have John Rahm sitting at 16 under, so those two are going to battle it out. Bryson's 5 strokes back. Justin Thomas, I think, has had a couple of good rounds, 67-67, but to come back from a 7-shot deficit, you're going to have Cantlay's going to have to blow up.
Absolutely, and that's the thing that Cantlay has written the script on how you win this championship, at least for the first 2 days. He's had one bogey over the first 2 days. The only way people a little further behind him are going to make up any ground is that he has to come back to them. And right now he shows no inclination to come back to them. One of the odd coincidences about this, and it's likely that Rahm and Cantlay right now will play together all 4 days of this championship. One of the odd coincidences, when John Rahm had to withdraw at Memorial because of the COVID diagnosis, it was Patrick Cantlay who benefited from that and went on to win the championship.
I forgot so
they're,
that.
They're actually a little connected.
That's very interesting. But, you know, when you see there's big names on this leaderboard, but they're way down, you know, even minus four, minus six, they're out of this thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The only thing that I, you know, if I was making a call for the PGA Tour and I was worried about the fact that I have a two-man race for the next 2 days, I'd make the golf course set up really easy tomorrow. I would want a golf course where right now the golf course is pretty hard. You know, we've got a couple of people shoot 65. Most notably, John Rahm has shot 65 both days. But the golf course is pretty hard. You need a golf course where somebody can go out and shoot a 63 and stir the mix a little bit. And I don't see them doing that. But that's the only way I think they make this interesting on the weekend, other than to watch two guys compete for this championship and $15 million.
I hope for some drama, but I think that the more interesting fall golf is going to be the Ryder Cup.
Absolutely. And Mark, before we forget, we should mention that this time next week, they will have completed the first round out at Norwood with the champions PGA players. The seniors are playing out at Norwood. So we'll have PGA Tour golf at the senior level here in St. Louis next week.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, Dan. I had Frank Cusimano on the last hour. I mean, there's some big names that are coming to town. This is going to be a great event for St. Louis.
Absolutely. You know, when they first announced, I wondered with its place on the calendar whether the field would be as dressed up as it is. But when you throw a name like Ernie Els with multiple major championships into the mix, when you throw a Bernhard Langer who last week shot his age at age 64, there is going to be a very entertaining product put forth for the people. Hopefully the weather will be good. Certainly the cost, I think it's $20 to get into the event, is there. And we haven't had that kind of golf. You know, that's going to be here for the next 4 years. So that's something we're not going to look at like a PGA championship to say, what's next? We know what's next with the Ascension Charity Classic. We know next year is next.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's awesome. I got a message this week, Dan, and you. I want to thank you because you helped me get in contact with Ellen Port after she beat the boys at Sunset Hills. Now, her home course, but I got a message, Sue, for this is awesome. So I mentioned to her during the interview, I don't know if you heard it, Dan, that, you know, I go see Adam Betts over at Family Golf. So I get this message via Fred from Ellen Port. You can tell Mark I shot 65 yesterday at Winghaven and successfully defended my Missouri Senior Am title. He needs to bag Betts and come see me.
Hey,
and I'm with her.
There you go.
I'm with her. But
awesome.
That was, I think that was last Sunday when she did that. But what, that is such a great story, Ellen Port, and what she's been doing in the world of golf.
Well, she's one shy of the most USGA titles ever in the history of the game.
Wow.
Now, in fairness, we need to point out every title she's won has been age limited, whether it was a mid-amateur or a senior event. But when you're in the company of tied with Tiger Woods for the number of USGA titles, you're in really good company. And Elle and I have known each other for a long, long time. In fact, we played together down at Pinehurst 1 year. She's a wonderful story because she came to the game late, didn't take up golf until she was, I think, 20, 21 years old, and has had an enormous run of success, and right now is playing perhaps the best golf she's ever played.
Dan, let me play a little audio here. I'm just going to play a portion of this from Phil Mickelson because he went off on the USGA. This gets into the weeds a little bit, but let's listen to this.
The USGA is trying to ban the sale of ice cream in New York City? Not literally, of course. What I mean by that is this. In New York City, when the crime rate goes up, so does ice cream sales. So does that mean you should ban ice cream sales? No, because the underlying problem is heat. When people get agitated, crime rate goes up, as does the sale of ice cream. So let's identify what the real problem is. What data was there to say that the driver length should be capped at 48 inches? What data is there that says it should go to 46 inches? We're addressing the wrong problem, and we're misreading the data yet again, much like the grooves in 2010.
So first things first, Phil Mickelson is going to be booked for the Reardon Roundtable because I want to hear more analogies like that. So we're going to have to work on that. But I said this gets into the weeds. There's like this rumor that maybe the USGA is going to get involved with restricting driver length with the pros. Dan, can you explain anything about what Phil was going on about yesterday?
I found it interesting that he talked about data and then provided no data of his own.
Yes.
Well, you know, that seems to be the way of the world.
And the other thing you need to know about Phil Mickelson, two things related to the USGA. First of all, Phil Mickelson hasn't gotten along well with the USGA. If you recall, when he was playing hockey on the 16th green at Shinnecock during the U.S. Open a couple of years ago. And the other thing is Phil Mickelson makes money selling clubs for Callaway. So he's not too excited about the restrictions that come in and may cut into the sales. Now, as to his two major points, one, if he's suggesting that the longer club doesn't hit the ball a longer distance, he's actually going against science and physics. It's absolutely true. That's why tall players hit the ball further than short players naturally, because they have a longer swing arc. So when you say whether 48 or 46 or 45, whatever it might be, I mean, it does affect things. Now, what number you choose, that's a valid argument. The argument about square grooves surprises me, because he goes on to suggest that no player on the tour benefited from square grooves. Mark Calcavecchia made a career out of the U-shaped grooves that they had out there, and when they took them away, his career cratered quite a bit. So, you know, I think it's entertaining. I love the ice cream analogy. Here's what you need to know about distance in the game of golf. In Major League Baseball, they do not allow players to use aluminum bats. If they allowed aluminum bats, every stadium in the major leagues would have to be redesigned.
Golf
is trying to protect their golf courses in much the same fashion, protected against technology. Aluminum bats would be technology in the major leagues. What's going on with the ball or long drivers is technology in the game of golf. And I think the USGA and the RNA are doing the right thing and trying to control it, as long as they don't negatively impact us. And that also was in that rant.
Well, because you can have let me put it this way. So this conversation evolved on PGA Radio with Brian Kitrick and John McGinnis, and I've gotten a chance to know Kitrick, is that if you would have, I'll just throw this out to you. So we know with this technology, we have big driver heads, and we can smash the ball, and we can be protected with that technology even as amateur golfers. So this also helps the pros, where they can hit it very far, but their misses are not as bad as they would with a smaller club head. So one suggestion is for the pros, for the tour pros, maybe have that head smaller or adjust the length or whatever to make the misses a little bit more like they used to be and focus on accuracy. I don't know where I stand on that issue because it's complicated, but it is interesting food for thought, isn't it?
It is, and I have never quite understood. They call it bifurcation, and what they want is they don't want the rules of golf to be separate for you and I for what the PGA Tour players have. They want them all play by the same set of rules. So that's not going to happen. They could do that with the ball. They could come out with a professional ball that doesn't travel quite the distance. But they're very resistant to do that in the game of golf. And again, I draw the analogy to the aluminum bats, where maybe at the low levels of minor league baseball they're using aluminum bats, but when you get to the majors, you're using wood. I just don't quite understand it. But your answer is correct. The most interesting situation that I've read about, and whether that technology comes into play or not, is there is supposedly a ball in development that the harder you hit it, the more loss of distance you get from the ball. In other words, for a tour player who hits the ball 330 yards, when they hit that ball, it may drop down to 310. But when it comes down to you and I playing that same ball, we don't lose distance because we don't impact the ball in the same way. Whether they can come up with that ball or not, I don't know. But I think that's the simplest solution, whether it's length of drivers, whether it's size of driver heads, whatever it might be. Something needs to be done. And it's not Bryson that we're worried about. It's everybody in the game of golf who's now hitting the ball 330, 340, whatever it might be.
I'm worried as a guy who doesn't hit the ball 300 yards. I get worried about it. Now, obviously, you have different tee boxes, but I don't want the game simply to go to distance. And clearly, it's always been about distance, and there are going to be aspects of that that are going to be important. But I love the conversation. Dan, I appreciate it, and we'll see what happens this weekend. But have a great Labor Day weekend. And we got to get out
finally
and do some golf because I'm back swinging the club. So thank you very much. Hey, Sue, guess who's back on Tuesday on this radio station?
Who?
I think it's Annie Fry.
Can Annie we get, Fry. Let's see if we get I remember Annie Fry.
I remember her, too. Barely. I worked with her for like 2 days, and then she took maternity leave. Can you confirm that you're coming back on Tuesday?
I can confirm that I am coming back on Tuesday. Has anything been going on in the world or in St. Louis?
It's been pretty
Is there anything
slow.
To talk about? I'm worried there's nothing to talk about.
You know, that's the one thing, and you needed the time off, but the one thing that I would say is when I'm on vacation, when things are happening, it gets frustrating as a talk show host because you want to pounce, right?
You got stuff to say.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, it's been
wild. I have to tell you, sitting at home with a newborn baby in some capacity. I mean, you've had kids. You're busy when you got a newborn baby in the house, but you're a weird form of busy. You're occupied, but you're not really busy. You're just sitting there making sure the thing doesn't cry. Like, what do I need to do to make you happy while I'm sitting and watching Fox News or Disney Plus or something on YouTube? So I've been able to, especially in the last 3-4 weeks, pay a lot of attention to what's going on. But I have not had that outlet. Molly is sick and tired of hearing about Afghanistan. Yeah.
Sue, doesn't that tell us that Annie should have probably been back about a month and a half ago?
She should take her time. She should take all the time she needs.
I'll be back Tuesday.
But the baby's doing fine.
Yes, babies. Everyone's doing great. I mean, it's funny because Molly is my fourth kiddo. My oldest is 11 and a half years old. And I guess in some cases, probably when I'm not wearing makeup or anything, people are like, oh, is this your first? There's this weird thing that comes over people when you say they're fourth. There's like this pity that comes over.
Oh, that's funny.
And they go from this like exuberant excitement. Oh, what a cute baby. Is this your first? You're like, oh, actually, it's my fourth. And they pause in their tracks like, I'm like, it's not your fourth baby. It's my fourth baby. This is a happy thing.
You know what's funny about that is that when I grew up and when Sue grew up, that was so common. Four was like a low number in a family. Now it is unusual because people, I think, sort of limit out of two or three typically. Not everybody,
yeah.
Certainly.
It's expensive to have kids, that's for sure. But my in-laws, I think my father-in-law is one of seven. My mother-in-law is one of four. My mom's one of four. My dad is an only child, but that was because his parents struggled to get pregnant. He always talked about how he wished, you know, he'd see these big families and just would be envious of the buddies that you get to grow up, whether you're fighting or you're loving on them. It's just company. And my husband, he has four in his family and I had three. So four didn't seem too crazy, but I know who you people are who think that I need to recheck my priorities and my decision-making, but I'm okay with it. I'm very excited. We are very fulfilled. I'll put it that way.
Well, I'm looking forward to having you back. And obviously, as you indicated, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. So you're not going to be bored from that standpoint. What are your thoughts right now on the president and what's been going on? Look, I'm not on board with impeachment and resignation only because I'm a realist and I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not going to argue that it's maybe not impeachable offenses, but this has been a complete disaster, clearly. But you have, Annie, aren't you confident? I said this to Jeff Rainford earlier on the roundtable. You got to be confident that Kamala Harris is back there as vice president, too, because if anything happens, she's got her back.
What? So I didn't watch that week of news. That was the week where we were doing something with the baby all week, and I did not get that, but I will do my homework over the weekend. I'll tell you this, you mentioned impeachable offenses. That's kind of a loose term these days, you know, like what's an impeachable offense? Could we try to impeach Joe Biden? Yes, we could. But if we do, as you say, the person who's on deck, no bueno. And when you think about what impeachment actually is a very hyper-political process. He's not going to leave office, not because of impeachment. I think there are other ways he might end up leaving office. I think that his own party is disgusted with him right now, and they should be, because America first in this instance, for sure. But what I think impeachment does is it makes the process political, and it takes the focus off of what is this administration actually doing, and what are they not doing, and what are they standing for, and what are they backing down from? It is an atrocious right now to watch this administration, A, make the decisions that they're making, and B, explain them and stand by them. Like, you just, your head keeps just tilting to the side so much that it starts to get a crick in your neck. Like, what are you doing? This is basic type of stuff. So from where I've sat so far, when I've been watching this, I cannot believe how bad this administration, this is going. I knew it was going to be bad. I put this on Twitter a few weeks back. Is the Biden administration as bad as you expected or way worse? And so many people responded, I knew it was going to be bad. I didn't know it could get this bad.
Well, it's actually even like take, I know you can't do this, but take Afghanistan out of the mix. It's just been uncomfortable to watch them try to develop I don't even know what you would say, not really policy, but stumble around on all of this. And I do think that there are people in the party that are, you know, going to be concerned. On the other hand, you got Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer working behind the scenes to pass $5 trillion in spending.
Okay, let me ask you this. As somebody who's been a civilian for the last 11 and a half weeks, not like you, not completely inundated of it, but as from the civilian perspective, which means, you know, I'm turning on, you know, the best conservative news talk station in St. Louis, 97.1. I'm listening to you. I was listening to Brian and listening to Dana and Brian and Mark in the morning when I'm in the car, but I'm not like saturating myself in it. I'm not reading every news alert that comes around. Are Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer being kind of quiet? Like, when I think about the way they were acting in the Trump administration, man, the most dangerous place you could be is between them and a camera. And it's almost like, to me, like I said, maybe I'm just missing the stories because I'm dipping in and dipping out.
I think you're right a little bit.
I don't think they want to be involved with this administration. They don't want to get the goal of the majority that they have right now mixed up in this dumpster fire of an administration. Just my civilian perspective.
I think that might be part of it. I think that the things that are happening behind the scenes right now is Nancy Pelosi trying to figure out how to balance some of the kooky folks like Cori Bush and the squad and some of the people who might be more sane in her party. But, you know, maybe it's just the fact that the media is not giving them as much attention. I don't know, because I have noticed, and I'm not saying they're totally buttoned up on this, but at least we've had some, not many, but some members of the mainstream media push back on this administration, unwilling to accept their non-answers.
Yeah, I've watched a couple highlights. I think it was Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo going back and forth. Don Lemon being, you know, very pristine Don Lemon, like right on point. Oh. And Cuomo was kind of like, dude, I can't even get behind that right now. And I was like, what? Rewind that tape. I got to see that again. I see it's there's a little bit of seismic activity right now in people's confidence in this administration. It's what, month 9 or 8 of this administration? We've got a long way to go. I personally don't think there's any way that Biden can fulfill 4 years of a presidency. I just don't think he's well enough to do it.
You know, I'm not saying this to be mean-spirited or anything, but I have some concerns myself. But honestly, the vice president stepping up into that role would not be a
not
very good thing at all. Annie,
no.
Glad to have you back on Tuesday. Enjoy the final days of respite, and we'll hear you right before my show on Tuesday afternoon.
We have a ton of exciting new stuff coming on Tuesday, and I cannot wait to be back in the studio and to see you and Sue and everybody else around there. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you, Annie. Have a great
weekend.
Annie. Looking forward to it. Also,
bye.
I take care. I was going to mention this, Sue, on the roundtable, and I think I forgot. Sometimes I don't forget, and sometimes I forget, but you tell me if I forgot. Steve Butts, who is a state rep, lives in your neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
His mother died. The Butts family is a huge family, and Dolly Butts, as she was known, Elaine Marie, known as Dolly, passed away yesterday.
Steve, we're so sorry.
She had, listen to this, the mother of 11, including the legendary Norbert Leo Butts, who also posted about this, the grandmother of 36.
Holy cow.
The great-grandmother of the great-grandmother of 24.
Oh. Steve, we are so sorry. Condolences to your entire family.
81 years old, Dolly Butts. Amazing. So, yeah, sending some condolences out, but she lived a great life, and she was, the way that Norbert put it in his post, he says, we disagreed on almost everything, books, politics, religion, art, you name it, and she was still my favorite person. By the way, I'm also told, Steve Butts said, and I think it had something to do with him being on the panel, that she was a huge Reardon Roundtable fan.
Oh.
We will miss Dolly Butts.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Be at that first game, but I'm pretty excited about this football season. We talked a little bit about it with Mr. Frank Cusimano earlier in the afternoon, but my old friend from J School, and he's been on the Tiger Broadcast Network for decades, Chris Trevino, with us this afternoon for a preview. Jervy, how are you?
Hey, Mark, I'm doing well, thanks, and yeah, looking forward to football. Here we go.
Drake is I haven't met him yet, but just kind of reading and hearing him, he's very unique, isn't he?
He really is. You know, he's sharp. He's confident. I think that's a pretty good combination. Got a good sense of humor. And, man, does he have a lot of energy. I went around the state with him this spring on some of these caravans to some of the bigger cities. And, boy, he's nonstop. I mean, he's on the phone. He's chasing down recruits and doing whatever he can to promote the message. And, you know, he really gets it. And, you know, bright guy. I like saying he didn't play college football, but he was the student body president of his school at Arkansas Tech. He is really sharp and I think going to do some good things.
I love it. I just love the energy. And you know, just based on the recruiting numbers, that the kids feel that too. In fact, some kids that may have decided that they were going elsewhere are feeling that from Coach Drink.
No doubt. And of course, a big name is that Luther Burden, the wide receiver there in St. Louis, who had committed to Oklahoma, but might be changing his mind, and that would be some prize for Mizzou. But, yeah, it's all about recruiting. As you know, that's where it all starts. And, you know, Missouri's classes, just the couple they've had with Drinkwitz on board, have been rated very highly. We'll see now if that translates to success on the field.
So he's trying to – my understanding is, and this is always a tough weekend from my years in Columbia, Chris, it's Labor Day weekend. A lot of the students go home already, so you don't necessarily have a packed Memorial Stadium. But Coach Drink has kind of put a little pressure on the fans because this is his first opportunity to potentially coach in front of a full-capacity crowd. He wants that place as packed as you can get it, but there's some challenges there just with the reality of what the students do, aren't there?
Yeah, there really are. And you know that, Mark, from your time here, Labor Day weekend's never been a great draw, unfortunately. And I think that's going to be the case, you know, for this particular game. You'd like to see everybody out there and showing up for Mizzou, but it's not a big name opponent, although Central Michigan is certainly a capable football team, but not an SEC game Labor Day. So a lot of the students get out already and others do too for the long holiday weekend. So it's not necessarily a great indicator of what's to come from fan support. You just hope they'll come back because now it is available. You know, the gates are open. You can have fans, and obviously it makes a big difference, especially when a lot are there cheering on a team.
The second game looms large against Kentucky, doesn't it, Chris?
It does. Everybody's saying that, and I'm right there in lockstep with him. It's huge because, Mark, think of this. In the SEC East, Georgia and Kentucky have won 7 of the titles in the 9 years Missouri's been a member of the SEC. Of course, the Tigers took the other two in 2013 and 14. Most people think the two teams most likely to challenge Georgia and Florida would be Kentucky and Missouri, and that's the first SEC game. It's the first road game, and it comes next week, the second week of the season. I think you get that one, you could really start sailing. And, of course, if you don't get it, it's not the end of the season, but it really would be a tough loss pretty quickly in the campaign.
So give me a little preview here of this team, what your expectations are overall. Looks like we got a quarterback that can, you know, be competent. You have some questions, I think, about receivers or some newer players. You have Mookie Cooper, who's a transfer from Ohio State, but he's not going to play this weekend, is he?
Yeah, I don't think so. He's banged up a little bit, ankle injury, so he's been really limited in practice. I'm not sure he'll go Saturday. I think they'll probably be real careful with him because of his talent. They like him a lot. He can fly. The quarterback is a great place to start. Connor Bazelak was freshman of the year in the league last season on offense. He's really just a cool, composed kid. I think he's got a bright future and a lot of experience, even though he's just a couple years in now to his Mizzou career. They've got to get better on defense. You know, they changed the coaching staff around. Three new defensive coaches, including Steve Wilks, the former Arizona Cardinal head coach in the NFL and defensive coordinator at Carolina and Cleveland. So that's really where they've got to get better, Mark. Their last three games, they averaged allowing 50 points per contest. Hard to win doing that. They lost two of those three. The one victory they had down the stretch was on a last-second field goal against Arkansas. All in all, 5-5, a decent first year and an all SEC schedule, but the defense was really lacking at the end of the season, so the coach made changes.
Yeah, they have a new scheme, right? Where are they going to do a little bit more zone, or what's going on there?
Yeah, they're going to play more zone coverage, and they're also going to just start out with more defensive backs. It's going to be a 4-2-5, formation where I guess, you know, traditionally, historically, most football defenses go four linemen, three linebackers, four defensive backs. But in this day and age where so many teams and offenses start with now really their base offense at three receivers and just one back, Missouri is just going to be ready for that, at least, you know, theoretically, and have five defensive backs out there as their best defense. So two linebackers and extra cornerback, you know, would normally be called a nickelback, a fifth back. So that's just to, you know, counteract what most teams are doing now, trying to get their offensive players out in space and in mismatches. Missouri thinks it'll be better suited for most teams out are now more and more employing a more wide-open offensive style than what we used to see.
Chris Trevino from the Tiger Network with us. You got a couple of kids or even just one kid that you got your eye on that we don't know right now, but you have some expectations for this season.
Oh, gosh, that's a good one. You know, the linebacker who's kind of gotten some attention but is new to the program has a great name, Blaze Aldridge. He's right in the middle of that defense. He's a graduate transfer from Rice University, was the two-time Rice most valuable player, and also was first team All-Conference USA the last 2 years. He's new, but he's experienced. He's right in the middle of the defense. He'll be a key figure probably for Missouri to get better.
I love it. Well, what's your take, Chris, on the exit of Jim Sterk?
You know, I was surprised and saddened a little, frankly. I think he's a really good man. I think he did some good things at Missouri, raised a lot of money here, and you know, did well. I think Moon Choi, who's the president and chancellor now at Mizzou, is certainly a powerful figure. He wants to raise the bar even higher. Brought in the new athletic director, Desiree Reed Francois from UNLV. Don't know her well. She impressed at the opening press conference, but look forward to working with her in the future. But that was a little bit of a surprise, especially the timing of it so late in the summer as it came, really just a few weeks ago.
Well, they certainly didn't wait too long to hire Desiree, did they? I mean, they moved quickly on that. And I hear that I haven't had a chance to talk to her, meet her, but not unlike Coach Drink, she's got a bit of an infectious personality as well, I'm told.
Yeah, I think so. And you're right. It was about 2 weeks, if that, after they really let Sterk go is what happened. And then they hired Desiree, but right. I mean, a lot of energy, and I think she means business. We'll see if it translates to success for the athletic department, but she's the new leader, and they're going to go with her moving forward, of course, into the only getting tougher SEC when Oklahoma and Texas arrive.
Well, I am ready. Yeah, and that, by the way, I think that's kind of exciting. I'm looking
Me
forward
too.
To that as well.
Yep.
This was an interview about football, Chris, but you know, my love for this Mizzou basketball team, which has waned over the years. Can you offer maybe just at this point in September, just a glimmer of hope for this basketball season in Konzo Martin or not?
Well, yeah, I'm a believer in Konzo, and you know he's been here 4 years, two NCAA tournaments. You know, so batting 500 there because that's a measuring stick. In fairness, he's had a lot of injuries, and we've talked about that. I don't like making excuses for people. They've missed a lot of games. Some of their key players. The hard part looking forward is immediately looking forward is they've got 9 new players on the 12-man roster, so it's a complete overhaul. Unlike football with many returners, basketball has very few. So might be a little bit of growing pains, but man, if they can just keep their guys healthy and on the court, that really is a good start to have more success.
We got KU on the schedule this year, don't we?
Oh yeah, Saturday in December at Kansas. Won't that be fun, Mark?
Well, we might get smoked, but I like the, you know, I like the rivalry. I'm glad to have it back again. You know, I think it's fun. It needs to happen.
Several years. They got 6 years of it. It was supposed to start last year, but with COVID, that was called off. But no, it's great. It needs to happen. It should happen. You know as well as I do, even if Mizzou might be an underdog in a particular meeting with Kansas, doesn't mean the Tigers will not prevail.
Nope, not at all. Chris Trevino, it's great to have you on. A little Mizzou football preview as we get going this weekend. Hopefully, and I'm not going to be able to be there. I'm going to Chicago to see my mom and dad, but hopefully by the time I get to a game in October, this team will be rocking and rolling. That second game, not to get ahead of ourselves, because look, Central Michigan, to your point earlier, they're not to be, you know, taken lightly, but these first two games, very important. Chris, have fun with this season. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mark. Enjoy the weekend.
Dave Klein, you went to Mizzou for like, what, 2 days or something like that?
2 years.
Two years.
That's right.
Did you ever meet Mr. Trevino?
Freshman year, I was a lowly student trying to learn the media ropes. I sat next to him on press row at a basketball game, and he couldn't have been nicer. You know, all the members of the media could have treated you like, oh, you're just a little freshman. Who cares? No, he was a, hey, nice to meet you. Here's where this is. Here's who this is. Here's how you do
this.
Treated me like I was anybody else. Nicest guy in the world.
Look, he's one of the best.
Wow.
He really is. He's a great broadcaster, and that's the way he's been since I've known him from 1984 on.
Wow.
So I appreciate him coming on here this afternoon. And by the way, he retired. I don't know if people know that. Like, he was doing sports in Columbia, so he's still doing the work on the Tiger Network, but he gave up the everyday TV gig because he had had enough.
Got to be a little much.
Good for him. I'm a little jealous there. All right, 548, 97.1 FM Talk. I have a 6-year-old behind me right now because Alexa Reardon is in the house. We're taking off to see her Nana and Papa up in Chicago. So my wife has brought her down. Becky gets to stay here this weekend. Are you going to be shy or are you going to talk on the radio? I have a special song for you here in a couple of minutes. But she's got to put the headphones on. She has to hear. See, here's the thing. She always talks about how she's going to come in and talk on the radio.
Yeah.
And in 99% of the circumstances, this little girl is not shy at all. But are you going to get shy today? Yeah? Sounds like it.
We got headphones for you.
Go over by Dave, though, because you have to hear what we're going to play. See, now she's going to get shy, which is what I thought was going to happen. We have to have an audio cut of the day. Dave, I'm going to have you kind of explain this because I'm going to get off politics here just as we wrap up the show. But let me play this.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Okay, so because the entire exchange would take us too long, and I listened to it this morning, but this is kind of an amazing story.
Yeah, so we all know what happened with all the flooding up in New York. So long story short, the Spanish radio broadcaster for the New York Yankees was driving home from Yankee Stadium the other night.
Okay.
And he gets a call, and they figure out that the main play-by-play voice for the Yankees is stuck with standing water in his car. And
John Sterling.
John Sterling.
My God.
He's a legend.
Absolute legend.
Okay,
right.
Okay.
And so the Spanish play-by-play voice, his name's Ricky Ricardo.
Which is kind of funny.
Are you kidding me?
He said, I know where he is. Let me give him a call. I'm going to go get him out. And he actually goes
and rescues
John Sterling from standing water in his car.
So then he called. This is a talk show in New York to tell the story.
So I pull up. And John's telling me, is that you? I'm like, yeah, that's me. I am flashing my light. I am now behind you. I'm as close as I can get because his car now is, his wheels are completely covered in water.
Oh, completely covered. Water in the cabin.
Water in the cabin. So I get as close as I can to him. And so I said, you know, John, let me help you out. I, you know, rolled up my pant leg. I said, you know, make sure you take your registration with you.
Right.
So, you know, John gets out. We wade our way through the water. I get him into my Jeep. We finally get John settled into my Jeep. Now, you remember, he's kind of shell-shocked. I don't blame him. He's
sitting
in the car. And then the adventure is to get the extra half mile from where he was stranded to his apartment, which is no more than a half a mile. It took us about an hour, courtesy of directions from both the Fort Lee, North Bergen, and Edgewater police departments, who were very, very nice. Every time there was a road closure, because every time I thought, okay, I'll go this way, nope, that road's closed. Then I thought, all right, I'll try this way, nope, that road's closed. It was a jigsaw puzzle, and I finally got John home wet about an hour and a half, maybe close to 2 hours after the game had ended. But a stranded in very high water. John's got
Ricky,
a cataract.
Ricky, you're a hero.
I mean, and
that's
John,
incredible.
So John Sterling has been with the Yankees since 1989. Oof. He is 83 years old.
Oh, Mark.
And they say, I think earlier in that call, Ricky Ricardo said that he's usually like the last guy to leave. And Sterling was like the first guy to go home at around 10:30. But how about that?
Yeah, he said as he was leaving Yankee Stadium, he was walking through standing water. I mean, that's how quickly this progressed.
Wow.
By the way, to give proper attribution, that Sue is from WFAN's The Moose and Maggie Show, which is pretty close to what I was going to call this show before it came up with the Mark Reardon Show, The Moose and Maggie Show.
My name isn't Maggie.
Yeah, well, we there's workarounds. There's always ways to get around names, I think, if you got a good name. I do like The Moose and Maggie Show. That's a good name. All right, so I didn't do number one songs this day in history because they were kind of repetitive, but we always have a song pick for the week. And since my daughter's in here right now, Alexa, we saw a great movie on Netflix last week. You remember what it was called? Is she going to talk? She's going to be shy.
Hold on. She's going to be
She's got the headphones on, though, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell me what movie it was?
What movie was it? No, she can't remember.
She can't remember the movie. Well, Dave's kids might want to watch. What is it? You know. What movie did we see? Talking to the microphone. See, we got to train her on the radio stuff here, Sue.
Yeah.
Well, the movie was Vivo, right? She's going to be shy. That's okay. She's
on Netflix?
Yeah, and okay. it's a good movie. Buff and I talked about it a little bit. It's not the best family movie of the year, but it was entertaining, and we like the music quite a bit. So it has, and you're going to recognize, even when I play this song here, it features Lin-Manuel Miranda. So the music is very much like, it's almost like a kid's version of Hamilton.
Oh, that's cool.
Because there's rapping and stuff like that. But the movie's a pretty good film. It's a Sony movie, animated movie, about this character that goes on an amazing adventure. Mm-hmm. And Alexa and I liked it a lot. But I do this song pick. So I was hoping she was going to get involved here, but I don't think she is. So let's see if she'll give the name of the song as I get out of here. And you guys have a great weekend. We're off on Monday. Dave, you want to tell people what's coming up on Monday? Because we got a pretty good Best Of show coming up.
We do.
Do you remember?
I really don't.
Well, we're going to air.
No.
I think we're going to. I know. I put you on the spot. Yeah. We're going to air the roundtable in the 5 o'clock hour from today.
Correct.
Right? We have A Price is Wrong with George Gray.
Yes.
Anything else come to mind?
He
worked on this all week,
no.
So I shouldn't put it.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's all
brilliant.
Great,
great
material.
Yes.
Okay, Alexa Reardon, you ready for this? Here we go.
And now, Alexa,
new music discovery of the week.
Wow, what a totally amazing, excellent discovery.
All right, this is from Vivo, and even though my daughter's going to get shy and she's not going to give the intro, it's called My Own Drum. Have a great Labor Day weekend.
To the beat of my own drum.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.